Well, it's the start to what we affectionately call budget season here at the state capitol in Harrisburg. And Governor Josh Shapiro recently unveiled his budget proposal before a joint session of the General Assembly. His budget calls for a $45.8 billion spend, which is an increase from the current budget of about $1.3 billion. We recently heard from our state's top fiscal watchdog, our Auditor General, warning about future impacts of overspending. And today, we have him here to break it all down for us. We are talking with Auditor General Tim DeFore. General DeFore, thank you so much for joining us today.
Senator, it is my absolute pleasure being here, and thank you for extending the invitation.
Well, all right. Before we jump into the numbers and fiscal responsibility, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, your background? How'd you wind up as our state's Auditor General?
Well, it's certainly, I went down a road that I didn't anticipate going down because I wanted to stay away from politics. But sometimes people find politics, other times politics finds you. And politics, in this case, found me, and I'm very happy that it did. My career has always been in public service, has always been looking at how taxpayer dollars are being spent. My career started off, oddly enough, I was an investigator with the Dauphin County Public Defender's Office. I was there for a few years, and I realized at that time that I really wanted to investigate white-collar crime, see how taxpayer dollars are being spent, and go after people who are abusing it and misusing it. So I then went to the Department of the Inspector General, where I investigated state government fraud, waste, and abuse. And that's when I started to develop the skill sets needed to be an auditor. And then from then I went into the public sector, where I was worked for UPMC Health Plan, federal contractors, where I was a certified internal auditor, actually auditing the auditors, making sure that they had the credentials to do the work they're supposed to do. And also I was a auditing quality manager, which ultimately led me to being asked to run for Dauphin County Controller, which I did, and here as Auditor General ultimately.
A lot of the things you have experience auditing are things that continue to need to be audited.
Yes.
Whether it's Medicaid, pharmacy benefits. And imagine that, an auditor who's now serving as our state's Auditor General. With our listeners now knowing our Auditor General has the background that really is tailor-made for this job, what are some of the things that you're cautioning taxpayers about from your vantage point with regard to our state's finances and our fiscal outlook?
So here's one of the things. If there's one message that I could get to the taxpayers, we all pay taxes, whether we pay school taxes, we pay property taxes, and taxes to the federal government, state government. Watch how your money is being spent, especially on a local level. Local government impacts you some ways greater than federal government. It impacts you the moment you walk out your door. You need to be aware of how your local government spends your money. And one of the things that local governments, including schools, one of the things they're required to do every year, they're required to do an annual financial report. One of the things I would recommend is that look at the annual financial report of your local government, and also look at the budgets of your local government. Pay attention to what they're spending your money on.
Well, we all need to be watchdogs is
absolutely
basically the message. And, you know, these budget hearings are a great time for our taxpayers to dive deep into the issues. I've been on the Senate Appropriations Committee since I've been in the Senate. So this is my fifth year of budget hearings. And these questions that I ask really come from our community. And I say this often, at the end of the day, it's not my money, it's not your money, it's the people's money. And as our Auditor General, can you share with us some of the things you and your team have been working on and looking into on behalf of our taxpayers? You're that guardian, you're that watchdog.
And there's a couple things that really impact taxpayers. So one of the things that changes that we've made it, we decided to audit things that actually impact the average everyday taxpayers. One of the things that we recently did is auditing the reserves that some schools have and whether or not they were taking a law and using a law to their advantage to raise taxes without having the input of the voters, which normally is something that should happen. You're going to raise taxes, you're supposed to put it out to the voters to decide whether or not they want taxes raised. But also another thing that we're paying very close attention to are pensions. One of the trends that we are seeing is that a lot of municipalities are not putting in their required amounts to support the pensions, which is problematic across the Commonwealth. So those are two.
So if I can stop you right there, right? We've got a lot of pension issues.
Yeah.
Right? PSERS, which is the public school employees retirement system, SERS, the state employees retirement system. We've had some bad decisions made by Republicans and Democrats. We can't place the blame totally on any one political party. A lot of bad decisions before I was sitting in this seat. But my understanding is it's the state that sets those contribution rates. Is that still true?
That is correct.
So your reporting is going to help guide more responsible contributions?
Correct. And so here's one of the things that the direction that I recommend that if any governmental agency that has a pension plan, there's something called the Prudent Investor Act. And what the Prudent Investor Act, it pretty much states that fiduciaries who are overseeing any type of, could be a municipal pension plan or state federal pension plan, excuse me, a state pension plan or even a county pension plan, that you don't do things that a prudent investor would not do. And basically, don't do anything risky, reckless, or careless. I think what governments need to do, and in particular, this Pennsylvania, we need to be prudent investors when it comes to our pension plans and follow the guidance.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. When I came here, pensions were such a significant problem to me. I said, I can't be part of the problem. I have to be part of the solution. I don't take a pension because I don't think I'm constitutionally entitled to take that pension. And I really think we have to get at that problem because at the end of the day, it's the taxpayers who are going to be on the hook if we don't. So switching back, during the pandemic, you were really the leading voice in the state saying we need greater transparency with all of this massive influx of federal dollars that were coming into the state. And I always remind people when they say, well, you know, it's federal money. I'm like, listen, I'm sorry, but to the hardworking people that I represent back home in York County, those people who pay our bills, the taxpayers, the last time I checked, they have one wallet. So it all comes from the same place. It comes out of their wallet. So you led that fight to essentially open the books. Talk to us about the need for greater transparency with our state's finances.
Yeah, and it's, again, you hit it right on the head. It's taxpayer dollars. And we all deserve to have the right to know how our tax dollars are being spent and what they're being spent on. So government should be transparent. It needs to be transparent. You know, you constantly hear about, especially when it's campaign season, about people saying, oh, well, I'm going to be transparent with this, going to be transparent with that. It's a political talking piece. Well, it's my reality. And it's my reality to make sure that government is transparent and is accountable to taxpayers. And we do that by performing the audits that we perform. But it's something that is definitely, more of it needs to happen in federal government, state government, and in local government, especially when we are talking about the pandemic relief money. Well, and like you said, it's not money that the federal government just had in its pocket. We pay taxes for that. And we're going to continue to pay taxes.
Our kids,
to pay
our
for that. Exactly, right.
Exactly.
So I think we need to understand where our money is going. We get a bank statement every month from our bank saying that this is what's happening with your money. The same thing needs to happen with government.
Well, I know when we talked during the pandemic, I was really concerned about unemployment compensation and the fraud. And I remember very vividly when you said to me, for every dollar that goes out in fraud, even if we can track it down, we're only going to get pennies back on the dollar. And that's money that's being wasted that people are working hard to earn, to pay in taxes to the government. That also means that people who really need the assistance, especially unemployment compensation, right? Government put people out of work, no fault of their own. They had paid into this and now it's disappearing and they're not getting the help that they need.
Yeah.
It's really criminal.
Exactly. And it is. It really is. And, I constantly look at financial reports, what's happening financially in government and in law enforcement. And yes, there's always a celebration whenever the government says that, well, we found X amount of dollars in fraud. It happens all the time. The downside of that is, yeah, it's a celebration to identify it. But the people who steal these funds, they're not exactly investing in the stock market or real estate. They're spending it. So when you find that X amount of dollars has been spent, you're not getting that back. And when there's restitution in a lot of these court cases, they're ordered to pay pennies on the dollar. So once that money is out the door, especially if it's going to somebody who's committing fraud, it's gone.
We had our Appropriations Committee hearing with you today. And based on that conversation during the budget hearing, you're not doing all these audits yourself. And you need more fiscal stewards working with you to look out for taxpayer dollars.
Absolutely.
It's not easy. I hear it, whether it's, you know, the folks who own the small family restaurant in my district, large companies in my district, everyone from, you know, what's potato chips in Hanover down to that little Mason-Dixon family restaurant. Everybody is looking for employees. And you not only need employees to help you do this work, but you need people who have a certain skill set. So you've done some innovative things.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have. And one of the things that we've done that's really innovative, and I have to give credit to my workforce development team for coming up with this. So one of the things that we did is that we visited all 14 Apache schools, all 4 state-related schools. And one of the things that was said to me by one of my staff, we were talking about recruiting staff and going out to the Apache schools in particular, is that if you think recruiting at a Apache school is a common sense approach to a staffing problem, you would be correct, because these are state schools. And it's a great idea for a state department to go to these state schools to recruit. It's kind of our way of getting our return on investment. So we've been very aggressive over the past year going to the Apache schools, speaking to not only the students, but speaking to administrators, speaking to counselors, speaking to people in the career services department, talking about the opportunities to work with the Department of the Auditor General and some of the benefits of working with the state as a whole. And so far, that program has been very, very well received by both students, administrative, and by parents.
Well, I am grateful for your efforts to transform human relations or human resources and workforce development and make sure that we have enough people to continue to assure that your office is meeting its mission and its mandate. And I'm grateful for your continued support at how you make sure that the people's money is being spent appropriately.
I want to thank you for your support as well. You've been one of those individuals who from day one has been very supportive, not only of me, but of the department. And I can't thank you enough.
Wow. I'm honored to work with you. You started to touch on it. We switched into pensions, but I want to go back and talk about an issue that's really important in my district, and that's the local school property tax. You've uncovered significant challenges. And I think what you've uncovered really upsets the people that I represent because they've watched their school property taxes increase year over year over year. But yet you found school districts, none I believe were in my district, but you have found school districts that are sitting on large cash reserves, several reserves that are in excess of 20%. Now, I was on the school board. There's GASB accounting standards that dictate best practices for the amount of fund reserves. We have a rainy day fund, right? So we know that governments, like families or businesses, have to be prepared for that rainy day. But what you found was in excess of what those good accounting practices and standards say.
Exactly. And you never know when an emergency is going to pop up. So that's why, as far as you have schools or have a reserve for those whatever may happen events, your reserve is a certain amount. And if you are going to go over that allotted amount or percentage for a reason, it could be for special education or it could be for pension obligations, then you have to apply for an emergency referendum to the state. And what they do, they then, the state, and that's through the Department of Education. The Department of Education would then look at your budget to see what you have in reserves. And if you had if you were below a certain amount, then you could raise taxes without putting a referendum out to the voters. So they're removing funds out of accounts and moving them into different accounts to give the impression that they didn't have a lot of money in reserves or in the general fund. And they then would apply for these referendum exceptions. The school would see, look at their budget and see that they didn't have a lot of money in their reserve or in their general fund. And they then would allow them to raise taxes without voter input, and which was an issue. So what we looked at was the law pertaining to that. Now, these schools weren't violating the law, but they were moving money around to give the appearance that they didn't have any money. And that's one of the things that we looked at in the audit to see if this, in fact, was going on. And in fact, it was. So we came up with some pretty common sense approaches to how to avoid that.
Well, I can tell you, as a legislator, this continues to be the hardest issue I've worked on, and that is to provide meaningful school property tax reform. And I know how much it upsets hardworking property owners in York County, and I have to imagine that, you know, those folks in those school districts that you audited, I can't imagine they feel any differently. We have tried to address this in the state budget. You know, I was a voice back in 2017 to say, you know, let's look at those savings funds, those special fund savings accounts where we just had money sitting. Let's look at utilizing that money to meet our budgetary obligations before we go and ask for a tax increase from hardworking people.
And that's called being transparent. And I didn't realize that this issue had been around for almost a decade. My predecessor had talked about it. Other groups of citizens that were concerned about it. Legislature also had concerns about it. We looked at it and saw that this issue had never been audited. So we felt that, okay, it's our obligation to see what's going on. So that's why we decided to do this audit to determine if what we found was in fact going on. And it was.
I appreciate that. I certainly have found that, you know, with you, with your predecessor, that work that you do doing audits helps inform the work that we do as legislators. And with that in mind, I know you don't want to talk about future audits, right? Don't want to tip your hand. You don't talk about current audits, but can you give us some insight into what is next for you and your team? Anything coming up that you could share with us that our listeners may find interesting?
Again, just things that are impactful to the taxpayers. And which brings me to another question. And one of the questions that's always asked is, how do you determine what you audit? Well, first, we have the statutory required audits that we are legally mandated to perform. But some of the other audits, performance audits, and the school reserve audit was an example of that. We actually learn about those through the legislature and the general public, where they come to us and voice their concerns. We have an open door policy at the department where if there is a concern of the citizen, then we want to hear what that concern is. And after we get the information, we determine if, one, if we should do an audit, if we legally can do an audit, and if we are going to do an audit, what is the scope of the audit? So we get our audit ideas from a variety of different sources.
Well, after we play this back home in York County, you might be getting a lot of phone calls, because I can tell you, well, I have incredible constituents who have exceptional ideas, and that's the genesis of the work that I do here in this building. So I have a feeling you might get a few calls.
Well, after the school reserve audit, we were bombarded with phone calls primarily from senior citizens who were concerned. I mean, and I don't know how much time I have, but the one thing I would like to add is that last year, school districts received $16 billion in property taxes. 30% of that was paid by property owners who were 65 years old or older. So our senior citizens, whenever we talk about property tax increase, those types of things, we have to keep in mind who's writing a check for these. And a lot of it's our senior citizens and people on a fixed income.
I hear you. I understand. And I've always believed that we can be educationally excellent and fiscally responsible, and they are not mutually exclusive goals. It's really important information for every legislator to understand those numbers, exactly what you just said. So finally, any parting words of advice? Maybe some reassurances from our top fiscal watchdog?
Well, one, keep listening to your podcast. that would be my first piece of advice is no, and just be an educated consumer and be your own fiscal watchdog. And we all can be our own fiscal watchdog.
Be your own fiscal watchdog. I really like that. Thank you, General
DeFord.
This has been really fascinating. And thank you so much for coming on to join us for this episode. So for our listeners, right, when they have these great ideas they want to share with you, because they're going to reach out, where can they find out more about what you and your team do on their behalf?
They can go on our website. It's www.paauditor.gov. And everything that you need to know about us are all of our audits, and how to reach me is available on that website.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. Today's guest has been the state's Auditor General, Timothy DeFore. I'm Kristen Phillips Hill, and I really appreciate you tuning in for this episode of Kristen's Corner, a podcast by your state senator.